Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Cinema Specialist Phil and John are back, and today we are making our official 2025 Oscar predictions. We've been doing this since 2021. If anybody was wondering how we did, I beat John in 2021. I beat John in 2022. I beat John in 2023, and then last year, John and I tied, and that was because he picked Lily Gladstone, and if he would have just picked Emma Stone, like I told him was going to happen, he would have finally beaten me. I remember we were going into it at the end of the night, and I was like, oh my God, John, you're actually going to win, but you picked Lily Gladstone instead of Emma Stone, and that's why we tied, and therefore... You hold no superiority over me, John. None.
You know what? I made progress, and that's all that really matters.
I know. You did cut the gap. I mean, John, before this, it was like in 2021, I got 8 wrong. You got 12 wrong. 2022, it was 7 and 9, so not that bad. 2023, 7 and 12. John couldn't pick his nose that year. Last year, we both only got 6 wrong.
Yeah, we were really good last year. We were on top of our game last year. I feel like last year was a little very predictable year, though.
Well, it felt like it was wide open and then it wasn't, right? It felt like any of those movies could win, but then they couldn't, and it was just an Oppenheimer sweep. So if you were pretty much picking Oppenheimer, you won across the board.
Yeah. It was some of those, as is usually how this goes, it comes down to the smaller categories that you kind of have to just take a crapshoot on and hope that you get it right.
And hey, guess what, John? Guess where we're starting?
Probably one of the big categories, because we have to start big, right?
Yeah, you start big and then you go small. That's what you do. You always do that. That's how the Oscars do it too. They're like, best supporting actor right off the bat. Everybody's watching. And then they're like, all right, best sound. All right, we'll start off. You know what? Let's start off with a big one, John. What do the Oscars always do? They start with a big one. And what do they always start with that big one?
You literally just said best supporting actor.
Well, they always start with the most obvious. Yeah. Which is generally best supporting actor. I don't want that to be a ticker. Oh, I guess it can be a ticker. That's fun. We'll have a ticker going across the bottom. All right, so we're going to start with best supporting actor. Best supporting actor. This is the one of the biggest, the big award that's the most obvious. We have Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain, Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown, Yura Borisov for Anora, Guy Pearce from The Brutalist, Jeremy Strong from The Apprentice. I actually still haven't seen A Real Pain. So I know that Kieran Culkin's going to win, but I still haven't seen the movie because I so easily found everything else. This is the only big award that I actually haven't seen everything for.
Is it not easily accessible down there? It's on Disney Plus up here.
Yeah, it's no, nice and easy. Not. I think it's on Hulu or something here, and I don't have Hulu. Sense.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense because our Disney Plus includes Hulu up here.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That works, but
yeah, you have to bundle it down here. You'd have to pay for something that gives you both and yada yada.
Fun.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's going to be Culkin. I can't say who should win here because not having seen Culkin, I don't want to say. If I had to pick between Norton, Borisov, or Pierce, I would pick Pierce over Borisov, believe it or not. Funniest news is Edward Norton actually has the second shortest odds. Which I think at this point the sports books are just like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? We know it's Culkin. But right now it is actually Edward Norton who has the second shortest odds.
Yeah, this is Kieran Culkin's to lose. There, is probably the most obvious award. Maybe supporting actress is the only one that's more obvious than this at this point. But Kieran Culkin's performance in A Real Pain is so strong. He's going to win this. It's tough to say if he should win it over Guy Pearce. And obviously, we're kind of riding a big Kieran Culkin wave coming off of the conclusion of Severance and everything like that.
Whoa, Succession. Don't get your S shows confused.
S show is so confusing. Succession and everything like that. So I think he's riding this wave. But in all honesty, his performance in A Real Pain is so strong and so emotional, so heartfelt. He's playing this goofy character that also has this very emotional side that really brings it out, and it feels like a very relatable character, which as much as Guy Pearce's performance is incredible in The Brutalist, so performance you might not be able to relate with as much as you can with Kieran Culkin.
If you can relate to Guy Pearce's performance, please don't call me.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I do think ultimately that's what puts Culkin over the edge here. I think honestly, I haven't seen The Apprentice, so I don't know about Jeremy Strong's performance, but honestly, I'd kind of be okay with any of the other four winning this award.
I think it's a really good category. I think this is how it generally goes, though, with supporting actor. I feel like supporting actor is always a very strong category. There's just better meatier roles and supporting male roles, it seems like, in Hollywood of like the last 15 years. But it always feels like there's still somebody who's heavily favored to win it anyway. Yeah. I think the last time that it was shocking was when Mark Rylance won for Bridge of Spies. And even that wasn't shocking, but people thought maybe Mark Ruffalo would win it. That was 16. So that was, what was that? That was the Revenant year. So I don't even think Tom Hardy was nominated. No, that wasn't the Revenant year because the Revenant won Best Picture. What did Spotlight beat that it shouldn't have beaten? Was Revenant. Because the Revenant won Best Picture.
Yeah. That sounds correct, right?
Yeah. Revenant didn't win Best Picture. What am I talking about?
Was the spotlight year. So the best supporting actor was Christian Bale in The Big Short, Tom Hardy in The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight, and Sylvester Stallone in Creed.
That's a great lineup. And that was the one that was probably like the last really wide open one, in my opinion. So Culkin's gonna win this. All the performances are good. I haven't seen Culkin yet, but I am going to, and I'm excited to. And but it's this is the landslide. This is what they will start the Oscars with, and that'll be that. Let's jump into so. We always talk about this. We're going to do our will win and should win for the big categories or for at least the ones that we have seen multiple of. Like when it comes to shorts and stuff, we don't really know. You will win your Oscar pool based on how you perform in best documentary short, best live action short, best animated short, and these other smaller technical categories. So I'm going to go to best sound because I actually think this is an interesting category this year. John and I talked about this when we were recording our Wicked podcast for our patrons, which Wicked is coming out on Friday, so we haven't put that out yet. But Best Sound is actually very interesting this year because it's Dune Part 2, Wicked, A Complete Unknown, The Wild Robot, and Emilia Perez. Look, I like it because this is the first of 13 Oscars that Emilia Perez will not win. I guess it's really the first of 11 because it's probably going to win two. But this is interesting between Wicked and A Complete Unknown and Dune Part 2, in my opinion. There's a conversation to be had for all three of those movies.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't say The Wild Robot's completely out of it.
Okay.
The sound of the movie is pretty good, but the problem is it's an animated movie, and I don't know how seriously we take sound in an animated movie because we don't really realize how it's interacting with the actors and things like that. What makes this category very interesting is the interpretation of what does best sound mean. And of course, this should mean like sound editing and the use of sound, which when you think about it, I think Dune is such a lock for this, in my opinion. However, you have two musicals in there, and that kind of changes how people might think about it. Now, that being said, I did find the sound editing in Wicked kind of bad, in all honesty.
Really?
Well, I don't know if you had this experience, but I had the experience where I found the sound mixing wasn't great and the levels in the movie were not fantastic.
It was the opening of the movie. The first song was so hard to understand the lyrics. I had no idea what she was saying, and I was like, I hope this isn't how the whole movie's going to sound because I don't know what's going on. The rest of it, I was okay. I only saw Dune Part 2 in theaters, so I don't know what that would sound like at home. I don't know if I'd be going up and down on the remote. But no. With Wicked, I was at the beginning.
Yeah, I did not have to go up and down on the remote with Dune Part 2. And again, I think Dune Part 2, the interesting thing about the use of sound in Dune Part 2 is it's the absence of sound, which really brings up a lot of the performance of sound in that and makes it very evident when sound is being used. When you have that opening sequence where the Harkonnens are like jumping up onto the spire.
Yeah.
And it's in complete silence. It is a breathtaking moment that should be considered for sound because it's that lack of sound and the decision not to have sound for it that makes it so much more impressive.
Yes. I'm ready. John, my hands up. Call on me.
Yes, Phil.
There's a little movie called Birdman that had a lack of editing, which is what made the editing stellar. And it did not win best editing.
Yeah, that's true.
When there's a lack of, I don't think voters necessarily understand that that means it's actually good. So I'm going to say that though, Dune Part 2 is still going to win this award. And it should. It should. This is an award. It will win. It should win. But Wicked and A Complete Unknown, the reason why I say it's weird is because that movie is about sound. Making music and what the sound is and how you're going from folk to rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna say Wicked. I'm still gonna go to Dune Part 2.
I'm also going to Dune Part 2, mainly because I don't know if Dune Part 2 has much of a chance in other categories this year. Visuals, maybe, but other than that.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that.
It's a very interesting one to consider. I do think that the sound, there's a lot of like harsh breathing and stuff like that, which is really impressive in the sound of Dune Part 2. When it comes to A Complete Unknown, like you said, like it's all music. That entire movie is done in a very different way than the musicals. It's a very interesting category this year just because of the push on music in general and how that can confuse voters who aren't nitpicky when it comes to what does best sound mean versus what does best score mean, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, real Nicolas Cage here. Got a gut feeling they go with A Complete Unknown. I could see it. And that's this, if you're looking for kind of like a, a dark horse. Where'd that come from? It doesn't have the best odds, and that could be the one. It's going to depend if Dune Part 2 gets anything. Does Dune Part 2 get any love, or did it come out too long ago?
Yeah.
Although I think it will win visual effects. I think we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it. But you know what, John? We can't have too much fun. It'll be miserable a little. Live action short.
Ooh.
John, so this is where you do your research. So we have The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent, Aline, Anuja, I'm Not a Robot, and The Last Ranger. Now, last year in this one, we had The Wonderful Life of Henry Sugar or whatever. What was it called?
It was the Wes Anderson one.
The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. There you go. Okay. So last year we had The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. That was a lock. There was no way it was going to lose. This year, this is the most wide open category based on odds from FanDuel Canada. But you live in Canada. So, John, if you want to make money, this is the one. This is the most wide open odds. This is the only category at the Oscars that does not have a favorite under plus 100, which means they are saying that nothing in this category has a better than 40-something percent chance of winning. So this one, John, is it just the lack of big name associated with it?
I think that's part of it. I think that's part of why this goes up. Usually when we're looking at the best live action short, there is a large name attached to it somehow. Last year it was Wes Anderson. So it was very clear. Okay, Wes Anderson's finally getting his Oscar. Was it the year before that it was the Riz Ahmed short?
Yeah, I think so.
And that's what it is.
And Sally Hawkins win it back with the phone call. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, is this category is usually so dominated by, oh, here's this one person doing this short movie, and we all know who it is. This year, we're dealing with, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, four of them are in different languages.
Okay.
So, one of them's in English, and four of them are not English.
Okay.
And on top of that, only two of them are American, the English speaking one, and then the Anuja is also an American film because it's an American Hindi language short film. Mm-hmm. So because of that, this is just such a wide open category. And when we're looking at the topics of these shorts, they're so different this year, right? Like Alien is
No, that's just about a lean, right? Isn't that just a lean?
I believe it is Alien because it's about immigration.
Yeah, I think they're doing a play. I think.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not 100%. I think
the word is lean. It's a lean. So here you go. A lien is a right to keep possession of property belonging to another person until a debt owed by that person is discharged. So it's about a guy who goes in, and it's an immigration thing where he gets detained. So that's where it's a lien. But it is spelled out as alien, like you're saying, purposefully.
Yes. Anuja is about a 9-year-old girl with a life-choosing opportunity that tests the bond with her sister.
So Anuja does have Mindy Kaling as a producer.
Okay. So that could count for something. But it looks like, I don't know. And then what? The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent is about the Stripski Master of 1993.
Yeah.
It's not. And the interesting thing, The Last Ranger is about rhino poaching in South Africa. I'm not sure what I'm Not a Robot is about.
It's about somebody who's not a robot.
Listening to a cover of Radiohead's Creep. Okay. But the other thing is, there isn't one of these that sticks out as the, hey, I'm the Hollywood poster child of what is going to garner votes right now.
Mm-hmm.
That subject matter that it's like, okay, this is where Hollywood's going to lean. Because we've talked about it previously when we do our Oscar predictions. Hollywood loves their virtue signaling, essentially.
Yeah.
And the fact is, we have to look at these and see, okay, which one really signifies as this is the virtue signaling this year because it's so tight.
Yeah.
But
I know which one. But I'm not gonna tell you.
Okay. You're gonna make me say something first, eh?
Oh yeah.
Well,
go for gold, John.
You know what? I'm just going to say it because I want it. I'm going to go with a man who could not remain silent. Let's give me the Croatian film.
Yeah, this is where I win. This is how I win. I'm going with Aline. And yeah, Renlick Stage says I would pick the immigration, but it's so bad. LOL. I'm going with Aline. Supposedly Donald Trump has a cameo in the background on a TV. Like, it's not actually sure. Donald Trump. It's like a news thing. Dude, with all the ICE stuff that is going on in America right now, the perfect movie for Hollywood to pick. Just hopefully they voted in time. I'm going with Aline.
That's the question. That's the question. And then we're gonna get into that question when it comes to best documentary, too, in my opinion. So
what was it? The man who could not stay silent?
Yes.
It's such a long
who could not remain silent.
I'm not refixing it, John.
Yeah, that's fair.
I only typed it for us to know. We'll figure it out. If we can't figure out which one that is, we messed up. Yeah. All right. Animated short. Boom. Let's do it. So animated short film is Beautiful Men in the Shadows of the Cypress, Magic Candies, Wander to Wonder, and Yuck. And also when I said it's in the shadow of the Cypress, I'm not going to get John Travolta on this podcast. I said it correctly. So this one, it seems like we have a little bit of a favorite.
Yes, it seems that way.
It seems like Wander to Wonder is the one that's
yes. Favorite.
Yeah, okay.
Because
that won the Annie, and the Annie is essentially the Oscar for animated films.
Yeah, and it won the BAFTA for Best Short as well.
Okay.
But the BAFTAs, you can't really take them seriously.
Yeah, it's not even so much that you can't take them seriously. It's just that the U.S. doesn't care.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what it comes down to. Like, the voters here aren't influenced by the BAFTA.
Yeah. I don't know. This is, again, a category that, like, usually I'm so on top of the shorts because they're usually really easy to find. And this year I just, like, couldn't find anything.
Yeah, and so is there – there's no, like, Pixar in this one or anything this year, huh?
No. That's the other thing is like, there's no big front runner as like, this is the short that is going to stick out.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play the favorite then, and I'm just going to go Wander to Wonder.
Yeah. Well, I took a bit of a risk last time. I think I also have to go with the favorite on this one. So I also have to go with Wander to Wonder.
Now
I'm hoping that I get a chance to see these before Sunday, and then you'll see me here or on like, X or whatever being like, I made a terrible mistake with this choice, but
hey, and maybe you will have. I mean, I think what's interesting is so they play a lot of times the animated and live action shorts, they'll play them in a theater where all mm-hmm. of them are together for the price of one movie. We used to do this in college all the time. The Cosford Cinema at Miami used to play the shorts every year, and we didn't have to pay for it because we were students, but it was awesome. I mean, it was so good, and I kept up with them for a while, and I always talk about Curfew as like one of my all-time favorite stories. I think it's just a great, great, well-made movie for a short film. They turned it into a movie like Before I Disappear, Before I Go or something like that. It wasn't mm-hmm. very good. But the short was great. Sean Christensen did a great job with it. And I just wish that, you know, I wish that they were more easily accessible still. By the time they put them out, they're out for like 2 weeks around and you have to go to like some crazy art house, which in Florida we don't have. And it's tough. So we're shooting at the wind here, man. I have no idea.
And,
you know, just to get the fun out of the way, let's just do documentary short now. Okay. Because these are the ones where this is where you're going to win it or lose it. The other ones are more fun, but this is where you win or lose.
Yeah, it sure is. Documentary short at least has a little bit more to go on based on like what's being talked about and what's being discussed in them usually.
Okay.
Well,
here's the movies. Death by Numbers, I Am Ready, Warden. Incident, Instruments of a Beating Heart, and The Only Girl in the Orchestra. So, John, tell me about these.
Well, again, I couldn't find them. So, I haven't gotten around to watching them. But if we're looking at them, Death by Numbers is about a school shooting.
I thought that was an incident. Oh, no, that's a police shooting as incident. Wait.
Incident is the killing of Harris Snoop Augustus by Chicago police.
Okay.
Death by Numbers is a school shooting survivor confronting her assailant.
Okay.
Only girl in the orchestra is, you know, about a girl in an orchestra, a double bassist. First female musician for the New York Philharmonic in 1966.
Okay. That's not going to win over the other subjects, even if it's the best.
Hired by Leonard Bernstein. So, like, it's a little bit of relevance in recent memory when it comes to...
The problem is people just didn't like Maestro. So I don't think that's going to be like, oh, Leonard Bernstein, yeah, that's great. I feel like people are going to be like, ugh, Bradley Cooper already got too much credit for a movie that I personally thought was great.
Instrument of a Beating Heart is about first graders in Japan learning music.
Okay.
And I Am Ready, Warren recounts the final days before the execution of a death row inmate.
All right. This one, I'm just going to go with Incident. That sounds, based on everything you just described, I feel like Incident is the one that's going to win. So that's what I'm going to pick it. I'll pick it first so that you can go.
Cool. Because I'm going to go with the odds maker and I'm going to take I Am Ready, Warden.
And that is the one that's favored. There you go. I gave you a chance.
You did. You did.
I gave you a chance. But yes,
I do think there's a very Incident makes it up there just because of the subject matter and because it's one of those things that, you know, people really care about. But I also think
this is the real question, John. Which one was on Netflix?
I'm not sure. That's probably because I don't have Netflix, though. But I think what it comes down to is, like, as much as, like, police brutality is very forefront in the minds of the people and stuff, the problem is, it's like, so are school shootings. So is, like, incarceration and death row and, like, the death penalty, right? Like, these are all topics that are so accessible. And it sucks that in a year where there are two short documentaries about musicians and music, that neither can even be considered. But we had a music one win last year, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah. No, what won last year? What was it called?
What was that?
You got it right. The Last Repair Shop.
Yeah, that's the one.
And I did the ABCs of Book Banning, which was the New York Times one or the New Yorker or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, here we go. Last one that I have no idea what I'm talking about, and then we get into the good stuff. So thank you, everybody who stuck around. Documentary feature. John, give us the history.
Tough. This one is tough this year because there are some heavy topics when it comes to these documentaries. Black Box Diary, which is about sexual assault investigation in Japan. No Other Land is about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat is about the Cold War and American musicians Abby Lincoln and Max Roach as they crashed the Security Council to protest the murder of a Congolese leader. Mm-hmm. Sugar Cane is about residential schools in Canada. Very sad topic. And Porcelain War is about Ukrainian artists as they face the current Russian occupation in Ukraine.
So what was No Other Land again? That was the one about Israel and Palestine?
Yes.
Done.
Lock. So here's Lock. The thing. Here's the thing. There's been a lot of talk about Russia and Ukraine over the last week. Did that happen after voting closed?
I think so. I think
it started like right after voting closed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going No Other Land. I feel like that has been the biggest topic by far in people's minds, in the US at least. And if that's
before this last week when it switched to Ukraine again. But
that's how don't get me started, John. Don't do this.
I'm not. I'm just saying the thing is, again, these are all very topical conversations. Sugarcane was the only one that I could even find, and I didn't get time to actually watch it. Now that I know what it's about, kind of glad I didn't, because residential school is very depressing. But so are all of these topics, right? Tends to be how best documentary feature works. Sometimes we get those happy ones, like the one a couple years ago about the elephant. That was pretty happy.
Yeah.
But this year, not so much. We're dealing with someone's... I agree. It's No Other Land this time, just because of the timing. I think if the Oscar voting happened like slightly later, it would be much more of a toss-up. But I think the current political discussion around Ukraine happened just after voting closed.
Yep. I think that's it. So there you go. No Other Land. All right, we're getting into it. Adapted screenplay. Let's do it. Boom. Adapted screenplay of Conclave, Nickel Boys, Emilia Perez, A Complete Unknown, and Sing Sing. And you know what? Because we're into this now, let's actually give the writers their credit. Screenplay for A Complete Unknown is James Mangold and Jay Cox. So James Mangold up for two Oscars here. Conclave, Peter Strahan. I always say his name wrong. I know how to say it, but I can never do it. I say it in my head right, and then it comes out wrong. Emilia Perez, screenplay by Jacques Audiard, in collaboration with three other people. Nickel Boys, Ramel Ross, and Jocelyn Barnes. And then Sing Sing is Clint Bentley, Greg Quadar, story by Clint Bentley, Craig Quadar, and Clarence Macklin, and John Devine G. Whitfield. This is another really lopsided category, and I don't think it would be super lopsided if it wasn't a very weak category this year. I think it's a very, very, very weak category. Sing Sing, the story is more interesting than the actual screenplay. Mm-hmm. Emilia Perez never should have been up. We're going to hear that a lot. Nickel Boys, the screenplay, John and I talked about it for our Patreon today, left me in the dark a bit. And I just feel like it could have been better handled. I feel like it's the cinematography. That's where this should have been nominated. And A Complete Unknown is a solid screenplay, but like, is that what we're talking about coming out of the movie? Of like, wow, that was groundbreaking. Got to give that one. It's a very by the books biopic. Yeah. So Conclave is the massive favorite, and I can't really argue it. I wish I could.
I think really, really comes down to in this category is Conclave is so far ahead when it comes down to it. And again, dealing with, you know, the Pope's worsening health and everything, it is coming to the forefront about what this movie is about now too. So I think that kind of plays into it a bit here. But in the end, this is just, like you said, it's just a weak category this year.
It is.
And it's nothing that's, there's no actual one that's really pushing it the boundaries of what the nominations are here. It's not like we're looking at a year where there's like this very well-known thing being adapted that is getting the nom for it, right? And we don't have a best adapted screenplay for Wicked. Mm-hmm. So that's the well-known thing that you that
Wicked probably could have put up a competition.
Honestly, it probably could have won this category. Honestly probably could have won because of just how everything else is sitting here. Conclave is probably going to win. Should it win? Maybe not. I think Nickel Boys probably should win this.
Nah.
You're really off of it after you found out that you didn't understand the ending.
Yeah, you know what, though? Here's my thing. I said to you, like, I said it, I defended it like crazy in that podcast. I'm not going to spoil it here in case people haven't listened. I felt like they went a symbolic route. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out they went a literal route.
Yeah.
But the style over the substance screwed me. It left me in the dark. And you know what? Conclave, Conclave, Conclave. Conclaves will win. Conclave should win. That's how I feel.
Okay. Yeah. What do you got? Conclave's going to win. I'm still going to stick it to Nickel Boys just to make things a little more interesting.
Now, it is interesting. Actually,
you know what?
Ramel Ross and Jocelyn Barnes did win.
Sorry?
The WGA.
Did they?
Yeah, they did beat. They did beat. But Conclave wasn't up. So I don't know if that was something where...
Is that one of those like not members of the union type?
Yeah, thing? It must have been something like that because he wasn't up. So Nickel Boys won.
Interesting. I'm going to stick with it. Although I think that there should be some mention of A Complete Unknown here. Like you said, it is a typical music biopic, but it's handled much better. And a lot of that comes from the way the screenplay incorporates the music of Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so what are you going with? You're picking...
I'm picking Conclave, and I will say Nickel Boys should win.
Okay. All right, let's do original. Original screenplay.
A lot more interesting this year.
Yeah, kind of. Anora, The Substance, A Real Pain, The Brutalist, September 5. So again, I said I was going to give everybody their dues here as we actually read the name. So Anora, Sean Baker, Brutalist, Brady Corbet, and Mona Fassfald. Real Pain, Jesse Eisenberg, September 5, Moritz Binder, Tim Filebaum, co-written by Alex David, and then Coralie Farge for The Substance. So we have three people who are also up for director who are up here.
Yes.
Do you think, because I think this is between Anora and The Brutalist. I'm sorry. The Brutalist won't win this, but I think this is between Anora and The Substance probably.
I agree. Yeah.
Do you think that there's any chance that because Sean Baker wins this, Brady Corbet wins director? No. If Sean Baker were to win this, do you think that that could be the route it would go?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Now I'm questioning it, but I don't think so. I think it's more likely that the person who wins this wins the other one as well.
Okay. Because so the substance, Coralie Farge also wasn't up. Coralie Farge was not up for the WGA because I think she's in the Director's Guild. I don't think she's in the Writer's Guild.
Right.
So she wasn't up for the WGA award. So that is a little bit of an unknown here. I know that Jesse Eisenberg won the BAFTA. I don't think that matters.
No. Though the script for that movie's really well written.
Yeah, it's another, I haven't seen it. That's really the only movie that we're talking about tonight that I haven't seen.
I know.
You go first this time.
I think if we just look at the climate around everything, I think this is Anora's to lose. Mm-hmm. I do think Anora, honestly, will win and should win. This is the tightest script. The thing that might go against Anora is you don't realize how good this script is until the last scene of Anora.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the last scene. So it's literally the last thing you're thinking about. Makes you reflect on how good the rest of the movie has been written. There's been so much singing of praises for this movie that every Academy voter likely watched this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the only ones I am very confident in saying that about. The Substance, probably one of the other ones that I think almost everyone watched just because of the hype that was surrounding that movie.
And you get the old timers who love Demi Moore. So you're going to get the younger crowd who will watch it because it's body horror and it's different. And then you'll get the old timers who would normally avoid that type of movie who will watch it because they love Demi Moore.
I think when it comes down to, for me at least, like I think The Substance could stand a chance if we're dealing with people who, like, depending on voters, I think the younger people are still going to migrate more towards Anora when it comes to their votes this time. Mm-hmm. And I think the older crowd will too, despite the fact that the older crowd might be really latching on to some of the more themes in The Substance, the idea of like aging and aging in Hollywood and how that impacts you and everything like that. And the Hollywood satire of it all can't be understated because the Hollywood sat, we know how much Hollywood loves Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I think this is Anora's, and it honestly should be. Like, shout out both to The Substance and A Real Pain. I think those are phenomenal scripts. But in the end, like, The Substance isn't even the best body horror movie.
No. So. No, Anora needs to win this, in my opinion. I have it as a will win, should win. I don't think my will win and should win are going to be that different this year.
I don't think so. We mentioned it before, and especially through all the Patreon podcasts where we've discussed this. This is kind of a weak year.
At last year. For Best Picture, I said it. Oppenheimer should win the holdovers. Nolan, Glazer, Stone, Murphy, Giamatti, Downey Jr., Gosling, Randolph. Anatomy of a Fall, the holdovers. It was a lot of saying, no, I think this other thing should win, and you were the same way for the most part.
Yeah, whereas this year, I mean, you and I both agreed. I have one more than you, but you have 2 4-star movies out of the Best Picture noms, and I only have 3. And that's because I'm a little higher on The Substance than you are. And even then, I feel like The Substance and I'm Still There I'm Still Here are 2-3 for me. And then it's a pretty big drop before we get down to 4.
Yeah. All right, next one. Let's jump over to costume design. So this is Wicked, Conclave, Nosferatu, Complete Unknown, and Gladiator 2. This is one area where I think the will win is different from the should win.
Yeah.
Because I think Wicked wins this hands down, no questions asked. This is done, lock it up. But I think that Nosferatu was more inspired. It's just my opinion.
This is such an interesting category because costume design is so... seems to be so driven by these like period costumes all the time. Hollywood loves voting for period costumes. Mm-hmm. They love historically accurate costumes and what it means, which does give Nosferatu a bit of an edge here, you would think. But the costuming is so over the top when it comes to Wicked, and it's a musical. A stage musical. And if anything, you know those costumes are over the top. That's what they're supposed to be.
For the scene alone of Cynthia Erivo with the hat at the dance, like that scene alone, every single costume in that scene could win this the Oscar.
Yeah. And that being said, like, I think the other nominees this year, there's just too much subtlety in the costumes.
Yeah, Nosferatu's isn't very subtle. I mean, Nosferatu's is pretty in your face, but.
Yeah, but again, it's the period aspect of it, right? Like, Conclave is up there, has the second shortest odds. But, like, it's just a bunch of bishops. Dressed
yeah.
as bishops.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
How exciting is that and all that garb, right? A complete unknown, again, period pieces. They look really good, in all honesty. They really do kind of capture that era really well. And then Gladiator 2, also period pieces, but I couldn't tell you anything about Gladiator 2, and I think this is just here, so Gladiator 2 gets a nomination.
Yeah, I agree. People thought Denzel was going to get nominated for a while there. So what are you picking? What's your go-to?
I'm picking Wicked as the will win. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think I'm going to go Conclave, though, just to change it up a little bit.
You just love that? Okay.
There
you
go. I think Conclave should win. It looks pretty accurate from what I know about that.
Yeah, there you go. That's what's important. Oh, that's because they just borrowed the uniforms. Exactly. Production design. Wicked, The Brutalist, Nosferatu, Conclave, Dune Part 2. So this one, when you're talking production design, just for anybody who is confused on this is essentially like, is Shiz University going to lose? Mm-hmm. And the Emerald City. Will Shiz University and the Emerald City lose to any of the other four movies? That's what they're asking with production design.
Yeah, because it is the like physical like sets and things that are in production.
So I'm going to make John decide if he thinks Shiz University will lose first.
It's not. And I think the biggest thing here is it is the most standout out of all of these nominees this year. Does it have the best production design? Probably not. I don't think it should win best production design. I think if we're really looking at it, probably no. Oh, it's really hard to vote against The Brutalist on this one.
Yeah, but I think The Brutalist in any other year would be running away with this. I think that Wicked's just too popular.
Yeah, I think it's too popular, and it's too... The big thing when it comes to Wicked and production design is that it's very... I think the Emerald City's supposed to be kind of ugly, though.
No, this is giving Black Panther beating The Favorite vibes, in my opinion. Because the Emerald City in the original movie, like in The Wizard of Oz, is it so incredible looking?
Yeah.
It really does not look that good in this movie. That's, again, it's the third act of the movie where the CGI is just so over the top. That's when the movie lost me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But I think, like, the thing is the production design in Wicked is so much more colorful than all the other production designs. The other production designs are very muted. They're very dark. They're very heavy, right? The Brutalist is dealing with brutalism, which, yes, looks spectacular the entire movie. But can everyone appreciate that? I don't know. Nosferatu has this, like, perfect encapsulation of, like, 19th century England. But does it really stand out against something like Wicked, which is just so over the top with its production design? I don't think so. Dune, again, the production design, there's some cool things in it, but it's a lot of sand. Are you really giving production design to sand?
Yeah, you're right. The colors are what's going to do this. I'm going with Wicked. I think The Brutalist should win, though. I really do. I think The Brutalist should win this easy, and I don't think it's going to be... I don't think it's close.
Ultimately, I tried to play devil's advocate here, but no, The Brutalist should win. Brutalism. Got my seal of approval.
It's so brutalism. Ugly. That's what's going to kill everybody here.
Yeah. Honestly, it's just such a jarring aesthetic for the North American eye that people just aren't going to appreciate exactly what it looks like, despite the fact that like the production design of the library scene in The Brutalist is magnificent.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just getting overshadowed by the glam of Shiz.
So far, we don't have The Brutalist winning anything. Now, granted, we haven't done a lot of what it's...
Yeah, we haven't gone to the one that is obviously going to win. So it's
like fine. This?
Ooh, maybe. I don't know if it's obviously going
to
win.
Oh, man. Okay, well, you haven't made any mistakes yet, so I'm waiting for you to make a mistake so I can do something here. Original score, The Brutalist, Conclave, Wild Robot, Emilia Perez, and Wicked.
So, obviously, there are a couple of things to like dissect when it comes to this category. First off, somehow Wicked gets a best original score nominee. I don't know how. I honestly have no idea how Wicked gets this nomination. It's based heavily on a stage musical, but they lengthened the movie long enough that it can have an original score. But Hans Zimmer uses too much of the Dune score for Dune Part 2 to get an original score nomination.
Also, it's an even if it's original, it's an adaptation of whatever was in the play.
Exactly.
So,
and this is the category that probably has the biggest snub of the entire year.
Yeah, without challengers.
Trent
yeah.
Reznor and Atticus Ross's challengers score being nominated. Probably one of the biggest surprises. I don't know if I could remember the Wild Robot score enough to tell you. And Emilia Perez is just, you know, this is another category that movie stands no chance of winning whatsoever. This is you're right. This is the Brutalist. Like, it, rightfully so. There's a 15-minute intermission in this movie that doesn't need to be there, and you just get to sit there with the score, and it's yeah. one of the most beautifully haunting things that I have seen in cinema in a long time.
And it's an F you in your face score, which I think works for a kind of movie like this that's really long and stuff. So.
It's honestly so beautiful. It's so well constructed, and it sits with you and it haunts you to the fact that, like, I can recollect it now several weeks after seeing the movie.
Yeah. All right, let's jump over to Best Song. I know. Let's talk. So for best song, we have El Mal from Emilia Perez. That's the one that what's her name sings?
Zoe Saldana.
We have Mi Camino. Yeah,
the benefit dinner.
One. Yeah, Mi Camino from Emilia Perez, which is the one that Selena Gomez sings. We have The Journey, which is from The 6888, which I have no idea what that is, but Diane Warren.
That's Diane Warren's, so, yep. You know, they have to be there.
Never Too Late from Elton John, Never Too Late. So that's Elton John. They love Elton John here. And Like a Bird from Sing Sing. Do Oscar voters truly hate Emilia Perez enough for El Mal not to win this award?
I don't think so. What it comes down to, who goes out of their way to listen to Best Original Song?
Yeah, but just give it to Diane Warren. This is the year to give it to Diane Warren.
I know. I feel the exact same way. Song's not even that good. But just give it to Diane Warren so it doesn't go to Emilia Perez. But it is going to go to Emilia Perez.
Which one?
It's going to go to El Mal.
It's going to go to El Mal.
I think so. And only because it's Zoe Saldana's song.
You know what, John? Even if I'm giving you the win, I refuse.
Okay.
I refuse. El Mal is going to win. It's going to. What am I picking? I'm picking The Journey from 6888. Let's do it. Diane Warren,
let's go.
This is your year, girl. Get up there and sing and dance and do whatever. I'm over Emilia Perez.
Won an Oscar before?
She never won. She's lost 15.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's lost 15 and all in the same category.
Someone put the misery out for Diane Warren.
I'm telling you, this is the year to do it. This is the year to reward Diane Warren and say, screw this movie. Look, John, you probably just beat me, but I'm okay with it. If this is how I lose because you support Emilia Perez, that's on you.
You had to put that out there too, eh? Oh, that really hurts.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll take a win. It's fine.
Yeah, take your win. All right, let's move over to International Feature.
Hmm.
So this has five movies, but I think there's only two. I'm Still Here, Emilia Perez, The Seed of the Sacred Fig, Flo, and The Girl with the Needle. This is between I'm Still Here and Emilia Perez. We know that because they're both up for Best Picture. If Flo or anything else had a chance, it would have been up in another category. It's not.
Well, what are you going with? Flo's up for Best Animated, but I mean.
Yeah, but it's not up for Best Picture.
No.
And we've seen animated movies get nominated enough, so.
Maybe we have. This is actually a really tough one. I think this is a lot closer than people want it to be. Which is saying something. Ultimately, I'm fairly certain it's I'm Still Here.
Is that your final answer?
I think so. I'm going to stick with I'm Still Here. Because in the end, I'm Still Here.
I'm going to make one up here. I want to do I'm Still Here. It's going to win.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's enough negative press around Emilia Perez that doesn't stand a chance, but it was looking really scary close for a long time. And there is still a chance Emilia Perez wins this. I think this is the third category. Like, I think it has Best Original Song and
Supporting Actress is over. We'll do that one next. It's over.
Yeah. Cool. It's over. But this one is the only other category I think it stands a chance of winning.
Yeah.
There. But it does. It's not going to because it shouldn't. That movie is absolutely atrocious.
Yeah. No, it's got to be. We're going I'm Still Here. Put that out into the universe, everybody. I'm Still Here. Let's go. It's going to win. I'm still and here. Again, it's over.
That was one of the Best Picture nominees that both you and I gave 4 stars to this year.
Yeah. I'm still here. It's going to happen. That's the one award I'm still here is winning. Emilia Perez is done. Kick it to the curb.
But we get into this stupid thing with this category again, where I hate the fact that this is a 5-film category where 3 of them don't even matter.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, but it gets those movies. That's like Nickel Boys, though. It sure. gets those movies enough notoriety that people will then go out of their way to maybe watch these. People who like it, you, John, you'll go out of your way to watch
it. I will.
And I think that's what's great about it. It has to bring awareness to 4 or to 5 of these movies. And then we can all agree that Emilia Perez is the 5th best, and I haven't even seen the other 3.
Yes.
All right, so I'm still here. We're both going with it. I was hoping I'd make one up on you there. Supporting actress, I've already said it. So we have Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown, Ariana Grande for Wicked, Felicity Jones for The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. She just won the SAG. She's won everything. I just don't see at this point how Ariana Grande can beat Zoe Saldana.
No, I don't think it's possible. This is a really weak category this year, though.
Yeah, it is. It's the worst it's been in a while.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I think there are even some performances from this year that are overlooked when it comes to this.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, Zoe Saldana is by far the best part of Emilia Perez. If you don't watch Elmo, because let me tell you, that is one of the worst dancing scenes I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, who should win, in your opinion?
Honestly, I think it should go to Ariana Grande.
Do you? See, I think I was a little underwhelmed by her. Look, she's unbelievably talented. She can sing her heart out. I get it. I just think that Felicity Jones's performance is better. I do. I think Felicity Jones, from an acting perspective, is better. I think Felicity Jones should win.
But there was AI used on her Hungarian.
Yeah, there's AI used on her. There's probably something used, auto-tune or something used on Ariana Grande's voice at some point. I don't care. I don't care. And you know what? I hope Zoe Saldana was AI. That's all I'm going
to... For Zoe Saldana's own sake.
Yeah, seriously. I know. What is this? Real Nicolas Cage. Imagine asking Zoe Saldana in 10 years what she won an Oscar for, and she has to say Emilia Perez. I mean, that's what happened to Rami Malek, though. Rami Malek wins for Bohemian Rhapsody. Congratulations. And Rami Malek's not really getting much acting work, even though he's a talented guy, because a lot of people look at Bohemian Rhapsody's win as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sometimes it can be a curse to win for these things.
It's okay. Zoe Saldana always has major blockbusters to fall back
on. Yeah, I mean, look, she doesn't need the Oscar. Let's be real. And again, Zoe Saldana, I am fine with her winning. I need people to understand that. Because I don't think that there's anybody in this category who Kerry Condon. If Kerry Condon was in this category, that'd be different. But there is no Kerry Condon this year. So I'm fine with Zoe Saldana winning. Like, she's good in the movie. The movie just is horrible, in my opinion. So
It just comes down to, like, this category is so weak. You could have thrown maybe 5 or 6 more actresses in here, and it just would have been nice to have to watch other movies.
Yeah, I agree. And that's normally what used to happen, is supporting actress and actress used to be like movies that weren't Best Picture noms. And then you would branch out and be like, why the hell wasn't this nominated? But makeup and hairstyling. I like that John doesn't know where we're going next, so he's just on the journey.
It's true.
We have The Substance, Wicked, Nosferatu, Emilia Perez, and A Different Man.
Well, assuming you want me to talk about it first.
Well, you've gone first every time. I can go first this time.
Okay.
The Substance is going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really have to like say much. It's just The Substance is going to win. And based on how Demi Moore looks in this movie, and I've talked a lot about how Margaret Qualley too, she has a lot of, what do you call it? There's a lot of prosthetics used, not just on her face, on her body, things like that. Yeah. I think it should win. I think it is. Ultimately, I do think it's better makeup and hairstyling than Nosferatu, although Nosferatu has some absolutely haunting images in that. I will say that this is one The Substance has earned.
Yeah, I when it comes down to this is body horror, and we're in a time where the Academy is willing to acknowledge body horror, so please do it, and it's well-deserved. Like you said, even if we're not even looking at the transformation itself, which is absolutely part of this, it's absolutely spectacular.
I still think the creature thing at the end is stupid, though.
No, the creature thing at the end is fantastic.
I think it's so stupid.
But it looks so good. It's just so well done. And when we're looking at just like the sleazy Hollywood side of the makeup and hairstyle too, like even just like Dennis Quaid in this movie, it's done so well.
Mm-hmm. All right. There we go. Next one, film editing. Wait, you were saying yes to will win and should win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%,
okay, in right? Locked no in. I guess I should have let you do that. I gotta like Regis Philbin in this. Best film editing, Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, and Wicked. You're going first on this one because I'm
taking you gave me the hard one.
Yeah, I'm taking whichever one you don't take. Billy Zane says Emilia Perez had the best makeup.
No. Whoa, Billy. No.
Billy, I thought you had taste.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, that's why I'm making you go first. I'm taking whatever one you don't take. This is where I make up the El Mall.
Okay. The Brutalist, spectacular looking movie, and it is edited so well. There are times where it's edited and it just gives you the sense of emptiness that I feel is so necessary in that movie. When you look at Anora, the way that it is edited and it just captures this feeling of isolation that the titular character feels the entire time, spectacular. Wow, I'm just realizing how depressing all of these movies are.
Oh yeah, this is a brutal one.
Emilia Perez.
Oh, Wicked's not depressing.
Sorry?
Wicked's not depressing.
No, Wicked's not. However, also not that impressive when it comes to editing. It's a movie musical. It looks like a movie musical. Emilia Perez looks worse than a movie musical. Not that movie musicals look bad, but it is a movie musical and looks terrible. And the editing, atrocious. My God, the amount of like lens flares and everything in that movie, ridiculous. Hated every aspect of the editing in that movie. That takes us to Conclave. And I think one of the strongest aspects of Conclave is the editing of that film. I think it is edited so sharply. It really adds to the tension in the film and this idea of like what's going on. While the script itself wasn't enough to quite elevate that film, the editing, super strong. Mm-hmm. I am going with Conclave winning it. And honestly, it should. It should. Conclave is the one that should win.
Okay, you can think that. That means that I'm going with Anora.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Anora, and I'm going to say Anora gets the win here because Anora is going to win Best Picture. Yep, and film editing tends to go to Best Picture. And I was between Conclave and Anora, so whichever one you didn't take, I was going to take. The Brutalist is just too long. They won't give it to
is.
It. I know they gave it to Return of the King, but that was a long time ago, and Return of the King cleaned up, so that's different.
Yeah, and the Return of the King doesn't have a 15-minute intermission.
It doesn't. Which the editing in that 15 intermission was just incredible.
Spectacular. What a decision.
Okay, that's where I make mine up on you. Let's go to, because I have the banner not ready, let's go to animated feature.
Okay. This is an interesting category this year, I think.
Well, because there's two movies that are up for other categories, right? With Flow and with The Wild Robot. So we have The Wild Robot, yep. Flow, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance, Most Foul, Inside Out 2, and Memoir of a Snail. I think ultimately they will go with the English language film, and that will be The Wild Robot. It's on Peacock. It's easily accessible. I think that's what they're going to go with.
I agree. This movie, The Wild Robot, also got a lot of hype when it came out.
Billy Zane's going to just ruin our night.
Billy Zane is just coming at us right now.
If Billy Zane throws in there, nah, Emilia Perez had the best animated feature.
I think when it comes, honestly, The Wild Robot is by far the best of these animated movies too. I haven't seen Flow, but
oh yeah, that's the one that I've heard really good things about.
I've heard very good things about Flow, but I've heard some people kind of have an issue with it at times when it comes to it being an animated feature and everything like that. The fact that it's Latvian has literally nothing to do with it because there is no dialogue in that movie whatsoever, which again is one of the reasons why I don't think it's going to win.
Even though that's one of the impressive things about animation, right? You can do that.
Yeah. So. And from what I understand, Flow has just phenomenal aspects of like the sound use in Flow really captures the animals and really they really express the animals very well. However, The Wild Robot was easily accessible here and you didn't have to go hunt it down like you did for Flow.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, anybody can watch Wild Robot. Flow had to get sent to you in a screener. Not everybody in the Academy is getting that screener.
Yeah. And when it comes to the other nominees, this is one of the years where I feel like Pixar doesn't even stand a chance.
No, Inside Out 2 has no shot. Rightfully. No shot.
Inside Out 2 was not very good. No. I actually kind of
Big hey, if Wild Robot wins, another check mark to Universal over Disney with mm-hmm. Epic Universe opening in 3 months too.
Yeah.
So
and I didn't get around to Memoirs of a Snail. I've heard really good things, but I've also heard that it's a very sad, dark, depressing yeah. movie. Sounds like something I would really enjoy. But Wallace and Gromit, it's a Wallace and Gromit movie.
I'm just pumped that Wallace and Gromit still gets nominated.
Yeah, well, I mean, it won last time it was nominated, so who knows? Maybe everyone just loves Wallace and Gromit, but I think we're past the point where everyone has that fond memory of it.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm going to Wild Robot. I can't say if it should win because I haven't seen Flow, so it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, that's how I am, too. I can't say because I don't know. We're going to visual effects. All right, visual effects, we have Alien Romulus, Better Man, Dune Part 2, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Wicked. I'll do this first. Dune Part 2 is going to win. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes should.
Okay. Okay.
You know why? You know why?
I love that movie because
it's the only thing it's nominated for. Come on. Give the Planet of the Apes something one day. My God. No, Dune Part 2 is the best. But from a troll perspective, I just have to say Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Cool. Well, I'm just going to stick with Dune Part 2 for both. Because,
you know, yeah, I'm not crazy enough to take Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes as will win because that would be a freebie to you.
Yeah. If we're looking at the other movies in this category, like Alien Romulus looks good. They did a really good job of containing, like, the Fede Alvarez and the crew did a really good job of containing that small space in that movie, making it feel good. Lots of work with the facehuggers, which is sick. Love that with, like, the actual things. But in the end, you saw the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The end, I think, honestly, you show that human alien hybrid at the end and everyone will be like, you know what? I'm good. Doesn't win best visual effects because of that.
That guy looked like too many of my friends. That was the problem.
Oh, that's a scary thought. Wicked, one of the weakest parts of that movie is the visual effects in that movie.
I completely agree with that. The end of that movie looks terrible with all the CGI.
All the animals. I hate the look of the animals in that movie. That is kind of a personal preference thing where I just don't really like that style of animation. But in the end, it's just not a category it's going to win. Better Man, you got a monkey being Robbie Williams through the entire movie. I guess that's visual effects. King of the Planet of the Apes does look good. And there are a lot of visual effects in it because it's like all CGI.
I mean, yeah, it's all. And the fact that it wasn't Andy Serkis this time, I think, is what was most impressive is that, like, we've seen yes. now that this has moved past. There is a next generation behind Andy Serkis that can really pull this off.
Other people who can do mocap. So very important.
It is. It is huge. Yeah, it is. I mean, because that's the best kind of visual effects, in my opinion. I mean, Dune Part 2, just the Colosseum scene alone is the end of it.
Getty Prime is just over. Gorgeous. The decision to put that entire sequence in black and white looks great. The fireworks in the sky, absolutely phenomenal. And then on top of that, you have giant sandworms. You have moments like that opening sequence where the Harkonnens are jumping up onto that spire that I mentioned earlier. It looks phenomenal. The desert looks phenomenal. The saturation and the color of it all looks phenomenal. It just, you know what? Denis Villeneuve gets snubbed for a couple of things here, but this is not one of them.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to cinematography before we hit the big four. So cinematography, we have Lowell Crawley for The Brutalist, Greg Fraser for Dune Part 2, Paul Gilhami, I don't know how to say that, Emilia Perez, Ed Lockman for Maria, and Jaron Blaschke for Nosferatu. I mean, I don't want to just keep saying the predictable thing, but I have a hard time seeing The Brutalist losing here.
I do too. I really do.
I really do. Like, how does it lose? The problem is Nosferatu's not up for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Dune Part 2, maybe, but we saw it in Dune Part 1. What won cinematography the year that Dune Part 1 won the Oscar? I'm sorry, you know what I meant.
Dune Part 2 is what you're saying?
When Dune Part 1 was nominated for Best Cinematography, who won it?
Great question.
It won. It beats The Power of the Dog.
Hmm.
Which also, like, The Power of the Dog, I just looked, its IMDb rating is 6.8. Are people out of their minds? What? Did you not understand?
I'm sorry, what?
Like, was the movie that scary for you? Was it that complicated? That movie's great. I freaking love that movie.
Oh, it was a tough one. The problem is, like, does the Academy want to give it to the same person again for essentially the same movie? And, like, yes, I get it. Dune Part 2, very different than Dune Part 1. Dune Part 1's a far superior movie. But do you give it to them again? I don't think so. And the brutalist cinematography is spectacular.
Yeah, it is. The brutalist cinematography is the best part of the movie.
The score is probably the best part, but
I don't know. I think the cinematography, the haunting images of that building up on the hill and stuff as they go.
Oh, I love that marble in the library. So good. And in the library. Yeah. No, the cinematography is absolutely spectacular in this film.
All right. I'll go first since you're being indecisive. I'll take the brutalist.
Okay. I'm also going to take the brutalist.
Dude, we got to change on something here.
We have. I took the winner for best original song, so I'm going to win.
Yeah, you have one different, we have two different, we have three different, we have four. We only have four differences right now.
Great. It's going to be a close race this year.
Or it's going to be over in the first 5 seconds because there's nowhere to catch up.
Yeah, that's very true. The problem is like, again, with this being a weaker year, I feel like a lot of the winners are just so much more obvious.
I will say that I think that we have three wide open categories remaining out of the final four.
That is true.
And then maybe not wide open, maybe that's dramatic, but
there are multiple things that can win.
At this point, I think Best Picture is over, but for director, actress, and actor, I could see Chalamet winning Best Actor is huge.
Everything out. Yeah.
That throws everything out the window. So I'm saying that The Brutalist should win cinematography. I'm saying it will win cinematography. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And you're doing the same? All right. Let's do actress first.
Okay.
Because I do feel like that's a little bit less dramatic, even though it's still dramatic, in my opinion. We have Mikey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore for The Substance, Fernando Torres for I'm Still Here, Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, and Carla Sofia Gaskin, who will be at the Oscars for Emilia Perez. She did say she is going. I'm making you go first. You're going to beat me. And I'm doing everything now.
I know. So, honestly, this is the top end of this category is very strong. Very, very strong. We can completely cancel out Carlos Sofia Gascon. Obviously not winning whatsoever. No chance in hell. You would actually have a easier time driving to hell than this woman winning the Oscar.
The real Nosferatu will be in attendance at the Oscars.
Yes.
Before
you won't be able to tell because of how cameras work with like vampires and stuff. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, but we don't need to know. He's just going to be there terrorizing everybody. But anyway.
Exactly. The fact that Cynthia Erivo has the same odds as
Carla. Yeah,
Carla Sofia Gascon is wild. But then you get into these other three. And like Fernando Torres isn't going to win. Very subtle performance, not what they really like giving best actress to ever. We've talked about it several times. Like the subtle performances, she's spectacular in I'm Still Here. But in the end, she is not Mikey Madison in Anora, and she is not Demi Moore in The Substance. This is so tough. And I'm still just filibustering while I try to decide.
Yeah, you got to pick your pick. I'll pick actor first, but you got to pick this one first.
Okay. Well, I'm... In the end, I do think... Because it's been, like, back and forth. There have been so many comments from very prolific people saying that Mikey Madison deserves this. And she does. Mikey Madison absolutely deserves this. Far and away... the best performance of the year. I don't think there is anything that comes close to Mikey Madison's performance in Anora. The SAG win for Demi Moore, though, puts that in there. And ultimately, if there's one thing we can count on the Academy, it's giving the older person the award over the deserving younger person. I am going to say that Demi Moore is going to win, despite the fact that Mikey Madison absolutely should.
So you're going Demi Moore win, Mikey Madison should.
Yes.
I am going to say Demi Moore wins and Demi Moore should. Boom. Wow. I said it. And that's what I did with Emma Stone last year too. I thought I was going to go Lily Gladstone the whole time, and I took Emma Stone and said she should win. I do believe, the longer I've thought about it, look, Mikey Madison is incredible. If Mikey Madison wins, she's one of the best actress winners of all time. There's no question in my mind. Demi Moore gives an Ellen Bernstein. She will win this Oscar for Ellen Bernstein in Requiem for a Dream. Like, she gives an Ellen Bernstein type performance in Requiem for a Dream. The desperation, the scene where she is talking while stirring whatever, that scene right there is incredible. And it's hammy, yeah, but she's leaning into what the performance is.
Mm-hmm.
I love Demi Moore in this movie. I think Demi Moore ultimately should win this Oscar. I think she will win this Oscar. And yeah, I think she closed the book on Sunday by beating Mikey Madison. I think it's over.
I agree. I think that's just what it comes down to. It's like, as soon as she won the SAG, the writing's on the wall now.
Yeah. Now we get into actor. This looked like Adrian Brody was not being impacted at all by the AI scandal. I don't know. Whatever.
Controversy?
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Here's the thing. He loses the SAG. Here's the last SAG winners. Killian Murphy. Wins the Oscar. Brendan Fraser wins the Oscar. Will Smith wins the Oscar. Chadwick Boseman wins, then loses to Anthony Hopkins. Joaquin Phoenix wins the Oscar. Rami Malek wins the Oscar. Gary Oldman wins the Oscar. Then we get Denzel beats Casey Affleck. So that's two out of however many. Leo wins the Oscar. Eddie Redmayne wins the Oscar. Matthew McConaughey wins the Oscar. Daniel Day-Lewis wins the Oscar. Jean Dujardin wins the Oscar. Colin Firth wins the Oscar. Jeff Bridges wins the Oscar. Sean Penn wins the Oscar. Daniel Day-Lewis wins the Oscar. Forrest Whitaker wins the Oscar. Philip Seymour Hoffman wins the Oscar. Jamie Foxx wins the Oscar. Johnny Depp wins, loses to Sean Penn for Mystic River. Daniel Day-Lewis wins, loses to Adrian Brody for Pianist. Russell Crowe wins, loses to Denzel for Training Day. Benicio del Toro wins, but then ends up winning supporting actor. So Russell Crowe wins. So let's go back to 2004. Since 2004, only twice has the man who has won Best Actor in a Leading Role lost the Oscar after winning it at the SAG.
Yeah.
I'm taking Chalamet.
Okay.
But Brody should win.
Oh, you put me in an interesting predicament here.
Yeah, that's why I did it. Because if you're winning already, John, you could be going into Best Actor being like, all right, it's over. I don't have to worry about it. I took Chalamet too. But if you're losing, you're going to be pissed at yourself for not taking Brody.
I know. But this is tough because we talked about this on the Patreon podcast when we were talking about Chalamet's chances when we did the complete unknown. And I said, Chalamet gets this bump from just, you know, being in two Best Picture nominations. But there is this a reflection of how the Academy feels about AI? Is the question. You're going to leave that up there until I make a show.
Oh, I'm going to leave it up there. Real Nicolas Cage is free win, John. Take the bait.
It's Timothy Chalamet gives a great performance as Bob Dylan. He does. Obviously, I think his performance in Dune Part 2 leaves a little bit to desired, and if I were voting, I would probably take him down a notch because of it. However, Adrian Brody's performance is all out and is so spectacular. I'm going to do it. I am taking this bait. I might regret it come Sunday, but I am taking Adrian Brody because Adrian Brody should win.
All right, there you go.
I'm hoping this is the third instance since 2004.
Isn't that crazy, though? Since 2004, only twice it's happened. And once it was, you know, obviously the situation with Chadwick Boseman was very unique because Chadwick Boseman had passed. And so that was known. And that definitely impacted, I think, why, you know, there was a stronger push within the acting community. Mm-hmm. But then when it was opened up to the entire Academy, Anthony Hopkins ends up pulling it out.
I mean, Anthony Hopkins also gave one of the greatest performances of all.
Personally, I think it's the best one ever. Yeah. But then the only other one was Casey Affleck beating Denzel. And at that time, there was a lot of situation going on with Casey Affleck, where people weren't really happy with him because he had that sexual assault scandal or whatever it was going on at the time.
That was Manchester.
So he loses to, so those are the things. Here's one where maybe I'm reading too much into the scandal extra story and I should just be like, the SAG went a different way. Mm-hmm. But I don't know at this point.
I think it makes more sense for actors to be more concerned about the AI than anyone else in the industry.
That's true. That is a fact. Although I will say, yeah, I mean, everybody should be worried, but
yes, absolutely. This is definitely a very serious thing, but Brody's performance. And this is my biggest complaint about the Brutalist. Brody's performance is so good. There was absolutely no need to use AI for the like three Hungarians who are going to notice that his accent isn't correct.
I just won. All right, let's go to director. It's Sean Baker, Jacques Odiard, Brady Corbet, Coralie Farge, and James Mangold. I'll do this one first, too. Sean Baker's going to win. He should win. Done.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's no question in this category. I think there was some time where I think Jacques Odiard was actually considered, and that's a scary thought because the editor, like the direction of that movie is absolutely atrocious in Emilia Perez. Brady Corbet could have won this category if it wasn't for the AI. This is where the AI really bites this movie.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, so that was a quick conversation there. Let's do our final category so I can go eat dinner. Best Picture. We have Anora, Conclave, The Brutalist, The Complete Unknown, Emilia Perez, Wicked, Nickel Boys, Dune Part 2, The Substance, I'm Still Here. Conclave gets the big win at the SAG, which has actually bumped it ahead of The Brutalist in the odds. So Anora has pretty much won everything. It would be the first movie since Brokeback Mountain, or the only movie other than Brokeback Mountain, to win the PGA, WGA, and what was the other one?
DGA,
WGA.
And PGA.
And PGA, sorry. It would be the only one to win all three of those and then lose Best Picture. The only other one was Brokeback Mountain when Crash beat it. But Conclave has now jumped up. And The Brutalist, which has fallen off a little, Conclave is now in that mix. Is Conclave innocuous enough that it wins? Like, is it that movie?
We've been saying it this entire Oscar season. Conclave is an innocuous movie. And the way, just a reminder for everyone who's listening, the way that Oscar votes work is, damn it, Billy Zane, stop it. The way that it works is a ranked ballot system. So because of that, it's not a question of who gets the most ones, who wins. It's who gets the highest aggregate score. So if a movie is going to get a bunch of ones, but also a bunch of tens, that's going to bump it down, which means a movie that gets a bunch of like twos, threes, and fours has a higher chance of winning than something that gets the most ones if it's divisive enough, right? So something like The Substance, which is a great movie, will probably get a bunch of ones from people, but be just on the nature of being a horror movie, will also receive a bunch of tens from people.
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. And the awkward thing about the way that the SAG works with this is it's for best ensemble cast.
It's about acting. It's not about the actual movie. And I'm going to be honest with you. Conclave winning this makes sense. I thought that there were Stanley Tucci could get nominated. I thought that John Lithgow could have been nominated. I thought the guy who plays the Mexican priest, I thought he could have been nominated. I can't think of his name, but I thought he could have been nominated. He was so good. And what is his name? Yeah. Javier or something in the movie. He's the one who does the vape hit. He's so good. They all could have been nominated. Mm-hmm. And Anora has a very great supporting cast too. So I have to say that.
It does. But like, if you're looking at an ensemble cast in general, giving very strong performances, it makes sense that this goes to Conclave. Does it change everything? This is, again, I think when it comes to Best Picture, The Brutalist takes a hit from A being a 3.5-hour movie. So not everyone's going to sit through it. And the AI, I think, impacts its odds here. I think this is another one where it takes a hit because of that. And you know what? I've been saying it all year. Anora has been my favorite movie of the year. It is the best movie that came out this year. It should and will win Best Picture.
I have the same thing. It's Sergio Castellino who does that's who I was thinking of, the one who plays the Roman. The Italian one. He's so good in that movie. And it's not the it's just all of the supporting, though, from like all they're mm-hmm. all great. Every country that's represented in that movie, they're all so good. They all could have been nominated. So that makes sense with Conclave. Anora is going to win. It's going to happen. It's over. Anora's going to win. It should win. And John and I have a lot of very same things.
People have been raving about this movie since it came out for good reason. This is, again, this is easily my favorite movie of the year. It was just the best movie that was made this year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Those are our Oscar predictions. Let us know what you're thinking. Carlos Diaz. That's the one. That's the one. He could have been nominated too. He's great. Let us know what you think, what you think is going to win, what you hope is going to win. And we'll see you Oscar night. I gave John the win this year. Can he blow it? Thank you, everybody. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time. Here, I'll remove the banner at the bottom so you can see the Patreon.
Next time in 2 weeks when we talk about plot
twists. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to be doing – dude, I forgot. Yeah, so in 2 weeks we're going to be doing a bracket. We're bringing brackets back for March, and we're going to be doing bracket of the 16 best plot twists in movies. So if you have a plot twist you want us to include, make sure to put that in here. John, I totally forgot. I got to go eat. I'm dying.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much, though. We'll talk to you later.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you. It's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's CARILOHA.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.